3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And welcome back to Exfabula Radio on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Rachel Owens, joined as usual by the fabulous Leah Delaney, co-founder of Exfabula. Welcome back.
Hey, Solancha, Rachel Owens.
All right, we are totally stoked because this weekend...
it's Irish Fest. Hooray!
Yay.
So I don't know if you have any plans on going down there at all this weekend, but I am going to do a generous amount of fake Irish dancing. I'm a pretty good fake Irish dancer, actually. We did bring a couple of stories relating to Irish culture from people in Milwaukee. Our first story is from Brooke Moraldi, which was told at a story slam a while back where the theme was emergency. Here's Brooke Moraldi.
I grew up in an extremely Irish neighborhood where there was just a few Italians around. And I discovered very early on that there was a big difference between Irish Catholics and Italian Catholics. Italian Catholics kind of looked at the rules and regulations as though they were just suggestions. You know, you could negotiate. But the Irish Catholics were always very pious, knew all their saints and the obscure doctrines. I came face to face with this distinction when I was in the third grade, the week before St. Patrick's Day. Now, at our church, Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal, St. Patrick's Day was a close second to Christmas in its sheer magnitude of the celebrations. It was huge. Typically, every week, they would make us all go to church on a Friday, and we'd get Holy Communion. But the day before, on the Thursday, we'd have to go to confession so that, you know, we'd have a clean slate and could get Holy Communion. I had kind of a two-pronged approach to confession. I had about a year experience at it by this point. And the first step was that I always lied about the number of sins I was confessing and the intensity of those sins. And then I would add that line onto the next week's confession. Because I thought, well, if I died between the two in midweek, it would only be the one line and I could, you know, handle that. And bad logic. And then the other part had to do with the fact that I just couldn't learn this prayer called the Act of Contrition. And the Act of Contrition is this prayer that you say after you've done your confession and the priest is absolving you, and you say it at the same time. He's talking and you're talking. Well, I knew the first line of the Act of Contrition, and I just kind of mumble my way through and hope for the best. And it had been working for me for about a year. So on this Thursday before St. Patty's Day in third grade, we all go down to go to confession. But Monsignor Moynihan was there, and he was the head of the whole parish. He was old, he was ugly, he was cranky, and he was almost deaf. So I go in when it's my turn, I do my confession, and I got off kind of easy with the penance. So I thought, this is not too bad. And then I start to do my Act of Contrition. I have my first line, and I don't hear anything on the other side of the screen. And he's listening to me. And he says, "Speak up, I can't hear you." And I just start mumbling, and add a few holy words in there. "Are you trying to tell me you don't know your Act of Contrition? What kind of Catholic are you?" Just mumbling. And he said, "Your soul is in a state of emergency." And he opened up the screen. They never do this. He opened up the screen, and I could see him face to face. And normally his face was bright red, now it was purple. And I thought he was going to, like, reach out and pull me. And he said, "Now I know who you are. And You cannot come back until you know your act of confession. Now get out of my sight. So I pull the curtain, look out at the church. Everybody's staring at me. And my teacher, Sister St. James, made me go to the back of the church and sit by myself, away from my classmates, as though I, you know, my soul was contagious or something. So that week, I really studied the act of contrition. And it's like a really weird prayer. You're like begging for forgiveness and hoveling. And I didn't really enjoy St. Patrick's Day that much because this was preoccupying me so much. So next Thursday, I go to confession. Father Moynihan, Monsignor Moynihan, isn't even there. I get the regular priest. He doesn't even pay attention when I'm saying my full act of contrition. So, years go by. I haven't been to confession in decades. And tomorrow is St. Patty's Day. And as usual, I will make a corned beef for my beautiful Irish husband. But this year, I'm going to lift a glass and toast Monsignor Moynihan, because forgiveness has to start somewhere.
And that was Brooke Maroldi's emergency story relating to Irish Fest.
In the end, that was a very nice way to wrap it up. She had the forgiveness in her heart.
Yeah, that is the Irish way. Let's roll right into our next story. This one is from Rebecca Siegel, so let's listen to her personal account.
So as many of you maybe know or don't know, I spent the past 2 years in France, which is where all my interesting stories come from. So here's another one. My friend Michael is from Northern Ireland, because the program that I did was international, so everyone had like Northern Irish Michael and Republic of Irish Barry and Uruguayan Sophia. So Northern Irish Michael, we all met at this orientation at the beginning in the mountains, because it was the Rhone Alps of France, it was the end of the year, it was springtime, we're all kind of leaving, so Michael wanted to have a party. He, however, lived in this tiny town called Chambéry, which sucked. There is nothing there. It was beautiful, but there's not much there in terms of partying, and he wanted people coming from all over this region of France to come party with him. So his little Facebook message was, "Hey guys, in theory, this party's going to be awesome. Here's what we're going to do. I found an abandoned factory on the edge of town. We're going to go party there. We're going to have a bonfire, and I'll play my guitar. There'll be music." And we're all like, "Great, let's take the train for 2 hours and go do that." So we did. So we get there. We walk into, I'm staying with my friend Grace at this building, and we follow Michael, like 20 minutes to this abandoned factory on the edge of town. We get there, and there's his theory of a party, this empty factory. There's a bonfire kind of starting over there. There's a lot of confused Spanish speakers. And there's my friend Barry from the Republic of Ireland, not to be confused with Northern Ireland, ever, who, for St. Patrick's Day, had purchased a leprechaun suit to show his students, you know, this cultural thing about himself and his background. And since we were all poor at the time, making our very meager wages and blowing it all traveling, he made it a very clear statement to wear this suit every single party thereafter. So here we are, an abandoned factory in the middle of Chambéry in the French Alps, leprechaun, Spanish speakers, bonfire. Oh my God. So we're like, well, let's just drink and make it happen. So we did, and it did. It's amazing. This is one theory in practice that always helps. I'm sure most of you know, because we're all Milwaukeeans. Alcohol makes things better sometimes. If it's boring, drink from this bar, tip your bartender as well, and everything's better. So all of a sudden, this like really weird situation turned into like, oh yeah, this is amazing. This party rocks. And we've got this bonfire is now like 2 stories tall. Michael's sister Nula and I are like, this is where newspaper stories start. Like, 25 international ex-students teaching their native tongues all die in factory fire. Mom, don't listen. And so we have this two-story fire going. We're inside. I'm hooking up with the gorgeous Argentinian Joaquin. My friend Kelsey's hooking up with the gorgeous Spaniard Alberto. Sophie and Michael are up in this, like, cement balcony of this factory. It's chaos. I remember clearly all this, like, amazing rock music or techno music happening, like, yeah, with the bonfire, but there wasn't. It was just, like, the noise of, like, joy. So this party's raging, right? There's, like, graffiti everywhere. There's we're literally rolling around in garbage. Like, my friend Barry's rolling around, like, being pushed in his leprechaun suit. Remember the leprechaun suit. You have to envision this. We're, like, pushing him in tires, like, oh, this is so fun. And then the police come. So, of course, I think there was maybe one French person there. Everyone's first thought, I mean, you could hear it like screaming in our silent minds, I'm going to be deported. I'm going to be deported. I'm going to be deported. Oh my God, I'm going to be deported. We gotta run. So everyone goes, run! So we do. And Michael and Sophia are, you know, up in their cement balcony, like watching everything happen as everyone's just going, scatter. So I will never forget the feeling of being on the run from the French police in this abandoned factory in this part of France, and the area where we were was below sidewalk level. And so to get to the sidewalk, we had to climb. So I was laughing so hard I couldn't get up. I will never forget Roger Dixon from Manchester goes, need a leg up? And he puts his hand down and gets me up on the sidewalk. We start running. There were like 35 people there. I was running with two of them. I don't know what happened to anyone. We're all like, where'd you guys go? I don't know, oh my God. We were all comparing stories the next day. What had happened was Sophia and Michael got on their bicycle and started like biking away, and it kind of fishtailed, went eep. So Sophia has her banged up, bruised elbow. Michael's got something wrong with his collarbone. There's this guy, Mohammed, from Morocco, who, now, we all unfortunately know that they're in America, there's a stereotype of driving while black. You know, people are unfortunately pulled over for the color of their skin. In France, they just have being Moroccan. So he's freaking out because he's like, we're all like, we're going to get deported. He's like, I'm going to get deported and be in prison for the rest of my life. So he's running. The police actually got a hold of him. He kicked one in the face, you know, like jumps over this gate. We're all like, oh my God, we're like living this. This is not a movie. He runs. Everyone else is scattered. Everyone's just broken. So turns out everyone safely made it home. No one got deported or in jail or anything. It was fine. So the next day, I was staying in the same apartment as my friend Michael, and I run downstairs. I'm knocking on the door. I was like, dude, are you okay? He's like, yeah, I'm fine, except for when I do this, oh, it hurts. So I was like, let's go to the ER. So I take him to the hospital. I'm almost done, I promise. Take him to the hospital. The French nurse is like, oh, it is actually broken. So he's broken his collarbone. Everyone's dirty. Everyone's hungover. Half the crew is lost. He's literally broken. And he goes, Becca, in theory, this was supposed to be the best party ever. And in practice, I told him, Michael, it was. Thank you.
And that was Rebecca Siegel's story.
Man, I think everyone has to go to a party like that at some point in their lives if they haven't yet.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And speaking of parties, we have Irish Fest going on. I hope to see you down there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Good time. And of course, plenty of Guinness to be had.
Yes. Did you say goodness or Guinness?
Guinness. Guinness. Yes.
Because Guinness is goodness. We have one more event I would like to bring up before we wrap up the show today. It is on August 24th. It's the final concert of Rhythm and Blooms. And they're featuring one of my favorite local bands, the Extra Crispy Brass Band. And we're also going to have an ex-fabulous storyteller there and a huge project announcement. So that will be on August 24th at the Green Tree Community Garden, which is over on 6767 North 60th Street.
All right. So something to look forward to next weekend. Well, thanks again for coming in, and I hope you enjoy the rest of Irish Fest.
Yes, yes. And please go to exfabula.org for all information about the Exfabula Fellowship and 9th season of Story Slams.
All right. We'll see you next week, Leah.
Okay.